Welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 1st of December 1997. D-Generation X In Your House takes place later in the week, and the WWF are going to do some final promotion for their final pay-per-view of the year on tonight's episode of Raw. Raw comes from Roanoke, Virginia, while Nitro's live from Knoxville, Tennessee. Before we begin, I have for you what could be the jammiest story you'll ever hear. You're going to love this. Reliving the War fans Jesse and Jason, the real Double J, went on tour around Calgary, Alberta, Canada, wearing their merch from Chinlocks.com. Here they are at the location where Brett's WrestleMania 12 training vignette was filmed. That's the Saddle Dome in the background, home of the Great Canadian Stampede pay-per-view. And that's Jason right there bringing some Saturday Night Fever to Calgary.
Oh, big bad was.
The boys, along with Jesse's wife Jill, paid a visit to the new Dungeon Wrestling promotion ran by Brett's kids, Blade and Dallas. Harry Smith wrestled the match, and the lads only got a photo of Davey's son performing a chin lock. It's been a while, so that's gonna be a
Davey Boy's Kid Chin Lock.
The fun didn't end there, though. Bret Hart himself got to meet these jam-up guys. His Excellency was looking particularly great on this day as Jesse wore his jam shirt with pride. And the boys wrapped up their journey by going home and playing a few games of WCW Revenge with Glacier. How appropriate is that name? A big thank you to Jesse, Jason, and Jill. Oh, that's Triple J, actually. But a big thank you for sending in your photos, and it looks like the journey to Dungeon Wrestling was a whole lot of fun. All right, on with the show. We have a lot to cover in this week's episode. On Raw, the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn kick things off with a promo. Eric Bischoff has something to say over on Nitro. Road Dogg says that their tag team victory last week was dedicated to the memory of the Legion of Doom, but unfortunately, the Road Warriors aren't here tonight. James says Hawk and Animal are sitting at home licking their wounds. This Sunday at D-Generation X, the tag team champions are going to defend their titles against the Road Warriors, but James says the belts aren't going anywhere. Billy Gunn says he and the Road Dogg are going to wrestle the Headbangers tonight in a non-title match. Just then, Hawk and Animal attack the tag team champions, and the Legion of Doom aren't wearing their iconic face paint. Jim Ross says this is a very rare thing to see. Animal says there's no way in hell Road Dogg and Billy Gunn can beat the Legion of Doom fair and square. The champs will be lucky to make it out of Raw tonight because LOD are going to do everything they can to stop Gunn and James leaving with the tag team belts. And Hawk says the Legion of Doom will be on the champs like ugly on an ape this week at the pay-per-view. Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbysko were gloating a little during Nitro's open. Eric Bischoff verbally agreed to fight Larry Zbysko on last week's episode, and the boys at the commentary table are looking forward to seeing that fight. Bischoff comes down to the ring and he says there's not a single piece of paper in WCW offices that says he agreed to wrestle anybody, especially that fat loser Zbysko. The crowd's been chanting Larry since Bischoff got in the ring, and they boo Eric when he says the fight challenge was for last week only and that fight didn't happen. So that's it over. Eric isn't going to wrestle Larry Zbysko. If fans want to buy Starrcade to see Bischoff versus Zbysko, then they should just save their money. Eric then says he would fight Larry if the WCW Nitro show was on the line. WCW owes the NWO their own show, and if a match was booked where the winner gets control of WCW's Monday Night Television show, then Eric says he would wrestle Larry and he'd beat him too. But seeing as Larry doesn't have the authority to book such a match, then it's redundant for Eric to bring this up. Oh gee, if only there was someone who could book this match for Starrcade. You gotta appreciate how much the fans loved Larry Zbysko though. Fans were cheering for Larry more than some full-time WCW babyfaces. I've been looking forward to this one. Taka versus Aguila on Raw. Over on Nitro, Juventud Guerrera takes on Rey Mysterio, so we have a light heavyweight versus cruiserweight battle on Reliving the War. I totally forget what happens in this Raw match, and Aguila was very impressive in his quarterfinal match against Super Crazy. Let's see how this match turns out. The 23-year-old Taka Michinoku starts by bringing the 19-year-old Aguila to the mat. Taka goes for a grounded surfboard stretch, but he then moves to a modified camo clutch. Aguila counters and he manages the lock in a surfboard stretch, and this isn't the way I saw this match beginning at all. Things begin playing out as expected when Taka lands on his feet after a lion salt attempt and Aguila lands a spinning wheel kick. Aguila then lands on his feet after tumbling out of the ring, and we see Taka's crossbody to the outside. Back in the ring, Aguila goes down after a drop toehold and Taka applies an STF. Taka then gets sent to the outside. He avoids a baseball slide, but he can't avoid the ring post. Aguila then finds himself on the top rope, and look at this. Aguila's corkscrew dive to the outside was fantastic, but look at Taka getting himself right in position when it looked like Aguila might miss the mark. Time and time again, we see guys not getting in their spot to take moves like this, and Taka fucking threw himself in to take the impact. Aguila lands a jumping back elbow, but Taka ducks a clothesline and Aguila gets the shit slapped out of him. Taka then misses a corkscrew moonsault of his own, but he kicks out of a Mahistral cradle. He then counters a Hurricane Rana with a powerbomb. He lands a diving dropkick. We see the Michinoku driver, and Taka Michinoku wins. Yeah, this was pretty good, and I thought Taka did a fantastic job here. Aguila got to show off more in the Super Crazy match, but this was still good. From the light heavyweights on Raw to the classic cruiserweights on Nitro, Eddie Guerrero comes out after Mysterio's entrance, and the cruiserweight champs gonna join the commentary team for this matchup. Juve and Mysterio counter each other's moves to start the match off, and Rey applauds his opponent. Guerrero holds on after a monkey flip and both competitors bridge when the referee begins his count. Mysterio then excites the audience with a nice sunset flip, and we then see a quick head scissor takedown from Rey. Everything's totally on point. Juve counters a Hurricane Rana with a stun gun as Eddie Guerrero boasts about still being the cruiserweight champ on commentary, and then this happens. Rey gets his head caught on the top rope, and this looked pretty dangerous. This also happens at the WWF Degeneration X pay-per-view later in the week during the main event. The action gets stopped as Randy Anderson checks on Rey. It looks like he isn't 100%, so Juve applies a leg lock and Randy Anderson continues checking on Mysterio. When Rey's good to go, the two get back up and Juve continues working over the leg. Juve's capture into a leg drop looked great here, I thought. You don't see that too often. But Mysterio replies with an enziguri and we see another fast head scissors from Rey. Juve then manages to set Mysterio up on the top rope and we see a springboard Hurricane Rana from the apron back into the ring. Mysterio tries to fight back with a German suplex, but Guerrero counters and we see the Juve driver. It doesn't end the match though. Rey dodges a corner attack, Juve gets folded up with an electric chair drop, Rey delivers the West Coast pop, and Mysterio wins the match. WCW is still king when it comes to light heavyweights and cruiserweights. The stuff Juve, Rey and company pull off is still as jaw-dropping now as it was back in 1997. Luna and Goldust are going to cut a promo on Raw while Big Meaty Man Wrath and Hugh Morris battle it out on Nitro. So this relationship between Goldust and Luna goes from amusing last week to absolutely fucking wild this week. There's no slow metamorphosis here. Goldust comes to the ring as an illuminous slave boy who's gonna yield to what we can only assume is his mistress. And Monday Night Wars, ladies and gentlemen, they don't do it like this anymore. Luna says that Dustin has been a prisoner all his life, first to an overbearing father and then to a scum-sucking gold digger. At this very moment, you can see a mother leaving the arena with a bunch of kids. Luna says she has the key that'll set Dustin free from his living hell, to set him free from his closet. This is now the artist formerly known as Goldust. Dustin will never be the same again. Luna says there's gonna be no rules and no boundaries, but there will be whips and there will be chains. Jerry Lawler says there's someone else who wants to give Goldust a good whipping, and that's Vader. Luna says Vader will learn that pain and pleasure go together. Before the torture's over, Luna says Vader can drag her little kitten by the chain. Jim Ross says his mother just fainted watching this back in Oklahoma, and by the sound of things, some of the fans in the audience fainted too. They don't cheer, they don't boo, they just sit there in bewilderment. Over on Nitro, Wrath vs. Hugh Morris feels like another filler match, and indeed it was. Morris showed up during the bout and he wrapped a small chain around his foot. He aimed for Morris, but he ended up hitting Wrath. Don't you just hate it when that happens? James Vandenberg then jumped on the apron when Hugh Morris went for the moonsault, but he got smacked in the face for his troubles. We see the no laughing matter and Hugh Morris wins the match. Again, they don't have any clue what to do with Mortis and Wrath now, and that's a shame. I liked it more when they were dominating Old Glacier and Ernest Miller. We have a Four Corners match next on Raw featuring different faction members, and on Nitro, Hulk Hogan cuts a promo, plus we have Yuji Nagata versus Prince Iaukea. So, D'Lo of the Nation, Recon of the Truth Commission, Chains of the Dirty Old Assholes, and Miguel Perez of Los Boricuas compete in a Four Corners elimination match. Only two guys in the ring at any time, but you can tag in anyone as you please. Before that though, the Milton Bradley Karate Fighters tournament comes back to Raw, and we've missed the whole thing more or less. This is a semi-final match between Jerry Lawler and Tito Santana. Tito's even got his El Matador gear on, that's how important this tournament truly is. Tito calls Lawler Burger King, Lawler calls Tito Taco Bell, and Jerry wins the match while telling Tito to go have another burrito, and yeah, check this out. Tito sells his back when he gets defeated. The final match then features Jerry Lawler versus Sonny. Can't wait, but can't guarantee we're going to see it. In our Four Corners match, all the factions stood outside the ring, and even with all the action going on, the crowd still chanted Rocky sucks. Recon was the first man eliminated after a Death Valley driver from Chains. Miguel Perez surprised D'Lo with a cover that led to the Nation's representative leaving the match, and immediately afterwards, Miguel also took the Death Valley driver. Savio Vega rushed in to break the pin, and oh wow, a big brawl between all four factions. I love the nuanced storytelling of these gang wars. Over on Nitro, the world champion comes to the ring with Eazy-E, and look at this brilliant bit of camera work right here. Genius, absolutely genius. All these loser fans are getting under Hogan's skin with their Sting masks. These must have been handed out for free. Hulk says everyone knows Hollywood's the man and Hollywood's a hero, and the reason why the NWO is just too sweet is because Hogan draws the fans into the building. Hogan says he's mad with all these idiots wearing Sting masks. These fans are in denial. Sting has no guts, and Hulk would take him out right now if he showed up. Hogan and Bischoff get agitated. Eric tells the fans to take the masks off, while Hogan says something real bad's gonna happen if the fans continue to support Sting like this. Hulk then leaves the ring, and he tells WCW's resident Stunt Granny to take off her stupid Sting mask, and Stunt Granny wants to beat the shit out of Hollywood Hogan. I like how WCW's head security man Doug Dillinger just smiles at this, by the way. Top tier security, do not fuck with this guy. Stunt Granny wants to claw Hogan's eyes out while Hogan calls her a haggard old bitch. And I don't know guys, Hogan versus Granny at Starrcade could have been an absolute banger. After this riveting piece of television, we had Yuji Nagata versus Prince Iaukea. I'm glad the Prince is back down to jobber status, and seeing as Yuji Nagata is on a winning streak much greater than Goldberg's, there's no way the Prince is winning this one. Things didn't start off too well with Iaukea suplexing Nagata and trapping him with a side headlock, but balance was quickly restored when the Prince got dropped on his head and Sonny Ono kicked Iaukea's ass on the outside. You love to see it. Nagata then toys with Prince Iaukea, clawing at his face and stomping on his knees and locking in a single leg Boston Crab. Nagata ends the Prince's pathetic comeback attempt with an overhead belly to belly, and then he signaled for the end. He sets Iaukea on the top rope and he... No. No. No! The streak comes to an end. This is worse than WrestleMania 30. Prince Iaukea defeats Yuji Nagata on Monday Nitro, and I'm not happy about it. DX are going to cut a promo on Raw while Harlem Hayes take on the Faces of Fear once again. So HBK's in a wheelchair, he's sucking on a lollipop, and he says DX showed the world last week that no matter how many millions of dollars people throw around, DX is always one step ahead of the pack. DX showed the world that they can play anyone for suckers, and that's why they're out here with these suckable sweet treats. Sean then says Triple H is going to finish what DX started last week. It's Triple H versus Jim Neidhart in tonight's main event. And then Sean says this.
Started! Tell him try!
Try? Fucking try? Triple H? Imagine your teammate calling you try. Jesus. Hunter says the Anvil's the biggest idiot he's ever seen, and as far as Sergeant Slaughter goes, the Commissioner can book a bootcamp match if he wants, Triple H isn't worried. Hunter says he's gonna bring all the heavy artillery he's got and put the Sarge away for good, but he's gonna save one piece of artillery for Slaughter's old lady, and that's his big bazooka. Sean grabs the mic and he addresses this wheelchair business. Sean isn't hurt, he's been getting put through a rigorous training regime with China in order to strengthen his legs and knees. Kenny Boy won't make Sean tap if Sean comes prepared, and even though the training's been hard, Sean's gotten a lot of positives out of these gym sessions. His pain tolerance is now really high, and he wants Hunter to demonstrate. Sean takes China's hand, Hunter grabs HBK's foot, and Triple H turns Sean's foot a full 360 degrees. Sean tells Hunter he's in the zone, brother, as Hunter continues twisting Sean's foot. Sean says D-Generation X always has a leg up on the competition as the DX theme song plays in the arena. The whole leg then gets twisted upwards, and Sean says he's the world's most toughest man. God, that looked painful. I hope he's okay. Triple H seemed to go a little too hard here on the Heartbreak Kid. This is the sixth time Harlem Heat have faced Ming and the Barbarian on Nitro, and they wrestle again later in the week on WCW Saturday Night, so we won't go into detail on this match. I'll be doing this quite often as we move forward, so if I don't do full match coverage, it's because we have seen the match loads of times already. If it's a main event though, or if something significant happens, rest assured it will get covered. I forgot to mention too that Raven and his band of misfits have been getting some camera time throughout the show. Lodi, who's still unnamed, has been holding up signs. These would get more ridiculous as time went on. Someone over here though really doesn't like the luchadors. Harlem Heat took the driver's seat early on, but Stevie Ray got himself in a bit of trouble and he struggled to tag out. Eventually though, he pulls off a power slam and he gets the chance to tag in Booker, but Jimmy Hart jumps on the apron. Jack Willen pulls Jimmy down and the Mouth of the South fumbles around with Jackie. Booker gets tagged in and he manages to win the match with a victory roll, and at the same time, Ming applied the Tongan death grip on Stevie. So Booker grabbed a wooden chair to take this jabroni out, but that's no jabroni, ladies and gentlemen, that's the Minger. Ming fucking punches through that chair, and Booker takes the death grip too for being so foolish as to think a mere piece of furniture could stop Ming. The Faces of Fear then save Jimmy Hart from Jackie, and Ming gets pissed off with fans at ringside, all in a day's work. The Rock vs. Vader's up next on Raw, while over on Nitro we've got Scott Hall vs. Disco Inferno. Two things here over on Raw. First, this fan here should have been made an honorary member of the nation. Could you imagine Farouk screaming at Specs McJobber here as he keeps losing matches on TV? I'd pay to see that. Secondly, Vader isn't blind anymore. Rubbing alcohol and hot coffee isn't enough to stop the man they call Vader. The bell rings and AC/DC's Back in Black can be heard as Steve Austin drives his pickup truck into the arena. You'll need to dodge the Peacock or WWE Network versions of Raw though to hear the music unedited. Austin got himself a few beers and he's having a good time while Rock loses his mind. Rocky tries to go after Stone Cold, but the Nation hold him back and Rock tries to refocus on Vader. The big man takes Rock down with two clotheslines before throwing a few punches in the corner. Rock gets splashed in the opposite corner and Steve Austin still having a great old time watching Rock get annihilated. Rock's able to get into the match by countering Vader's aerial attack with a power slam. He then performs the float over DDT and Vader finds himself on the outside where the Nation get in a few free shots. Vader gets tossed back inside where Rock hits a body slam and he sends a message to Austin by punching Vader and his Vader balls. The big man gets clotheslined out of the ring, and then the artist formerly known as Goldust shows up to lay in even more cheap shots. Poor Vader isn't getting a break here. The match ends when Vader gets back in the ring and he takes the people's elbow. Vader forcefully kicks out and he chases Goldust back up the rampway, and that leads to a countout. Rock and Austin shout at each other for a bit before Rock leaves with his Nation teammates, but he turns around on the rampway and he has one more look at Austin while Farouk, Kama and D'Lo continue to walk. Kevin Nash comes to the ring with Scott Hall, and Scott wants to know if the fans are with the NWO or are they against the NWO. The crowd shouts NWO as usual, but Tony Schiavone says that's bullshit because all these fans have their Sting masks on. Again, Sting masks that were handed out for free. Big Kev says the NWO's been around for quite some time, yet the WCW guys don't learn. If you mess with the New World Order, you'll pay the price. Sting paid the price, the Giant paid the price last week, and Kevin says, quote, "Let's bring out the dude who lost to a chick, let's bring out Disco, and let's get this show on the road." The commentators are also burying Disco on commentary. Mike Tenay, of all people, says Disco asked the guys in the locker room where the restroom was, and the reply he got was, which one? Tenay also calls Disco the Rodney Dangerfield of the locker room. He gets no respect. But don't worry though, Mike Tenay isn't being a total asshole. This plays into a promo that takes place next week. Scott Hall doesn't care much for Disco's dancing. He pushes Disco down, he messes up Disco's hair, and the crowd gets behind Disco as he gets aggressive in the corner. But boy, does Scott make him pay for that. Have a listen. Disco takes a corner clothesline, Hall then counters a hip toss with a knee to the gut, and the bad guy performs a chokeslam before mocking the giant. Disco takes another clothesline on the outside, this time from Big Nash, and back in the ring, the match comes to an end after Hall performs the full away slam, and then we see the Outsider's Edge. Disco didn't have a hope in hell here. The Outsiders celebrate like this was some sort of big victory, and the boys share a firm handshake before Nitro moves on. On Raw, we've got Scott Taylor versus Brian Christopher, and on Nitro, JJ Dillon has something to say. The battle between the future Grandmaster Sexy and Scotty Too Hotty doesn't take place, unfortunately. This is the second semi-final match of the light heavyweight tournament, but the Big Red Machine cares not for light heavyweights. He still wants to face his big brother in a match. So Kane comes to the ring, Scott tries to fight the monster off with a few dropkicks, but they have no effect. Scott gets chokeslammed, he gets tombstoned, and Paul Bearer says he hopes The Undertaker's happy, because all this carnage is the Phenom's fault, and the carnage will continue until the dead man faces Kane. Taylor's unable to wrestle his semi-final match, so Jerry Lawler says it looks like Brian Christopher advances in the tournament. If we take a look at Scott's matches though in 1997, there's a Brian Christopher match the night before in your house. This was a house show in Providence, Rhode Island, and I wouldn't be surprised if this one was billed as the semi-final match for folks who attended the show. On Nitro, JJ Dillon says Eric Bischoff never fails to surprise him with the things he says and how low he manages to go week after week. The fans heard him say last week that he'd fight Larry Zbyszko, but what Eric said earlier was true. Zbyszko doesn't have the ability to put Nitro on the line in a matchup at Starrcade. Dillon says he can book it though, and he's already booked it. Bischoff vs Zbyszko will happen on pay-per-view. Bischoff comes out and he's not happy. Bischoff says Dillon doesn't have the stroke to make this match, but Dillon thinks otherwise. JJ's looking forward to the Starrcade match, and Bischoff's just completely lost for words. Jeff Jarrett vs Ahmed Johnson on Raw, Ultimo Dragon vs Psychosis on Nitro. Jim Ross says Ahmed Johnson's lucky to be here tonight because he only went and flipped his fucking rental car 8 days ago. Big Ahmed has no luck, does he? He gets another unlucky break when Jeff Jarrett comes out and he says he's not going to wrestle tonight. He comes out and he says to Jim Ross that the match hasn't been promoted enough. A star like Double J deserves more. Not one contract stipulation was met last week when Jarrett was supposed to wrestle Chains, and this week Jeff's expected to wrestle Ahmed. Ahmed was one of the reasons why Jarrett left in the first place. Everyone knows Ahmed isn't on Jarrett's level, apparently, so Jeff sees no reason to get in the ring. Ahmed calls Jeff a chicken shit before Sergeant Slaughter appears on the entranceway. Sarge says he reviewed Jarrett's contract and Jeff doesn't need to wrestle tonight. He's absolutely right. But the commissioner says Jarrett will wrestle this week at D-Generation X, and the commissioner will give Jarrett an opponent worthy of Jeff's main event status. Double J then shits his trunks when Slaughter says Jeff Jarrett versus The Undertaker is going to take place this week at In Your House. On Nitro, I think Psychosis is wearing Juventud Guerrera's mask. Yeah, he is. I wonder what happened to his own mask. It must have got ripped or something backstage. The commentators aren't going to talk about this match at all. They just talk about the upcoming Bischoff vs Zbyszko match and the Sting vs Hogan match. I can't really rip him for it because of the huge numbers Starrcade would end up doing. Promoting the pay-per-view as much as possible paid off big time. Unfortunately, Juventud Guerrera's mask did not give Psychosis superhuman powers. He once again broke his ass after performing a leg drop to the outside, and although he tried to fight on, that ass was way too badly bruised. Psychosis goes to the top rope for the finish, but Dragon counters with a dropkick. The Dragon Steiner followed, and then Psychosis tapped out to the Dragon Sleeper. On Nitro, Chris Benoit is scheduled to take on Raven. On Raw, we've got that Headbangers vs. Gunn and James non-title match. So the Legion of Doom have promised to get their hands on Road Dogg and Badass, but the champs are just gonna ignore that fact as they make their way down to the ring. We see what happened the last time the Headbangers faced these two on Raw, and Road Dogg makes sure to remind Mosh and Thrasher about the boombox during the entrances. Mosh doesn't want to go through the usual wrist locks and headlocks at the beginning of the bout. Road Dogg gets floored twice, and we see some nice teamwork from the Headbangers. Thrasher delivers a power slam and he holds onto the ropes when James tries a dropkick, but Billy Gunn comes in and he drops the Headbanger with a neckbreaker. Billy should have stayed in the ring because as soon as Road Dogg tags back in, he too breaks his ass after a leg drop attempt. James tags out immediately afterwards and then the Road Warriors show up as promised. Hawk and Animal get in a few shots, but the tag team champions get out of harm's way. Just like last week, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn jump in their car to make a quick escape. Let's hope Ahmed Johnson doesn't come driving down the wrong side of the road. Over on TNT, Chris Benoit gets in the ring for his match against Raven, but even though Raven signed his WCW contract, he says he's not going to fall in line and conform to WCW rules. If William Smackhead Kidman wants to get his bag of the brown stuff, he's going to have to wrestle Benoit instead. Kidman says, "Thanks, Raven," as he climbs over the guardrail, knowing he'll get his fix tonight, even though Benoit's going to absolutely destroy him in this next matchup. Lodi stands at ringside holding a sign that says Kidman World Tour 1997, and Luke, Benoit literally smacks the head of the Smackhead. Unreal. He also wipes Kidman out with a hard back elbow. Jesus. Kidman takes a backdrop. He gets his head slammed on the mat. Benoit then locks in a lion tamer, and Kidman's just reminding himself that he's going to get some sweet, glorious smack when this is all over. Raven stands up to get a closer look as Benoit lays in a few knife-edge chops. Billy then remembers he's in a wrestling match, and he pulls off a head scissor takedown from the apron, and he follows this up with a tornado bulldog. The fight then goes to the outside where Benoit lays in more chops, but Saturn manages to catch Benoit with a right hand, and then Kidman pulls off a shooting star press from the apron. That was pretty awesome. Kidman performs a vaulting leg drop, and Kidman must be getting a buzz on here because he also lands a clothesline followed by a chin lock. Chris gets out with a back body drop, and we see a unique backbreaker from Benoit. Billy isn't done yet though. He gets in a few more chops, but he has no choice but to tap out when the crossface gets locked in. All joking aside about Billy, this was Kidman's best match to date. Chris fights all flock members after the bell, but he's stopped in his tracks when Van Hammer steps in the ring. Raven sneaks up from behind, he performs the even flow DDT, and Saturn then locks in the Rings of Saturn to end the segment. Looks like we might be heading to a Raven vs. Benoit match at the pay-per-view, but who knows, this Raven boy's a hard one to get in the ring. Buff Bagwell takes on Lex Luger in the Nitro semi-main event, while over on Raw, Marvelous Mark Mero cuts a promo. "Right, I'm gonna try something here. I think I've watched enough Luger and Bagwell matches that I can pretty much tell you what will happen before watching the match. I'm not cheating here, by the way. I want to challenge myself. Here's the notepad document I made before watching the match. I think they'll lock up and Buff will get the better of Lex, and then Buff's gonna laugh and pose. Lex will then bring Buff to the corner and he'll give a clean break, but Bagwell's gonna get in a cheap shot. Luger will get a little payback, but Buff will then take control of the match until Lex no-sells some shit or he gets a boot up in the corner, and Bagwell's gonna take a few clotheslines and the bionic forearm, maybe even a power slam. Vincent's then going to jump on the apron, but seeing as nothing's at stake in this match, Luger's going to knock him down. Lex will then counter a Bagwell sneak attack, and Lex wins this one with a torture rack. Alright, let's see how well I did. The two lock up, neither man gets the advantage, but Buff still poses, so I got that half right. There was no clean break from Luger, and Bagwell didn't get in a cheap shot, so I got that totally wrong. But the next step was pretty much right. Lex goes on offense early, and Buff takes a beating, but Buff takes control on the outside. Even Stunt Granny gets in on the action. And Buff stays in control for the majority of the match. Anytime Luger tries to fight back, Buff shuts it down. A fucking boot in the corner does turn things around for Lex, and there's also a power slam involved along with a clothesline. There was also an atomic drop, but I can't believe I got the boot up in the corner right. There was no bionic forearm. Vincent then jumps on the apron. He goes to the top rope, but Lex throws Vincent onto Bagwell. Both Vincent and Bagwell take the torture rack, so I was slightly off on the finish. It's also a DQ here, even though Vincent didn't hurt Lex at all, but the end result's the same. Lex wins, and we see the torture rack, so I didn't do too badly, although I wasn't exactly on point. That was fun though, I'll try doing that again in the future. Lex wins another one on Monday Nitro. Over on Raw, Mark Mero comes to the ring with Sable. Jim Cornette's going to conduct this interview. Cornette says Mero has a great win-loss record in the WWF and he's came back better than ever after his knee injury. But the problem is, the fans don't care if Mero turns blue or drops dead. Cornette says, according to reports he's getting, Sable's the real star of this duo and Mero's actually in Sable's shadow. Mero wants to know if Sable's ever done a Mero salt or won the IC title, and Sable says no, she hasn't. So that settles that. Mero says the fans are overlooking him. They're overlooking Mero's in-ring ability and his rugged good looks, all because they want to chant for Sable. Mark says he's the star. Sable was nothing when Mero brought her to the World Wrestling Federation, and she'll be nothing again when the Marvelous One kicks her to the curb. Mark says he's going to give Butterball a lesson at D-Generation X this week though. The two are going to compete in a tough man competition, and Mark's going to give us a little demonstration tonight on Raw. Sable's got some Butterballics boxing mitts, and Mark's going to punch the shit out of those mitts. One of them flies off though, and Mero flies off the handle. He accuses Sable of making him look bad. He calls out Sable for modeling Austin 316 shirts and Undertaker shirts while Mero was out injured, going as far as to say Steve Austin owes him a bit of money. And Mark calls his wife useless and pathetic. Sable begins to cry, so Mero tells her to get out of the ring before wrapping up his promo. Mark then says he's the best wrestler, boxer in the history of professional sports, and that in your house, he's gonna knock Butterbean out. Main event time, Triple H vs. Jim Neidhart on Raw, Dallas Page vs. Kurt Hennig on Nitro. Let's get the Nitro match out of the way. I said all I needed to say about this shit last week. Someone throws a drink all over Hennig on his way to the ring. He gets booed quite loudly during his entrance while the fans absolutely love DDP and Kimberly. Check this out, Kurt spits on Dallas, Dallas spits gum on Hennig. Hennig then slaps Dallas and the gum, and Dallas slaps Kurt back. Kurt Hennig just could not stop himself from slapping gum. Guy's a hero. Kurt takes a scoop slam and he takes his regular timeout. He grabs his US belt, he's gonna leave. He psychs himself up to get back in the ring, and DDP again spits on his opponent. Page holds onto the hair before applying a headlock, and Dallas performs a swinging neckbreaker. A low blow from Hennig instantly turns the match around though, and Hennig goes to work on Dallas, using his thighs to twist DDP's neck and dropping an elbow while Dallas was hung over the apron. We see the snapmare and neck snap, and then Randy Anderson goes down. Something happened here, and I think Kurt may have hurt Randy, but the cameras didn't catch it. Even the commentators have no idea what happened, and Tony Schiavone apologizes. The match slows all the way down with a Kurt Hennig chinlock, and Anderson still acting all dazed and confused. Kurt applies a sleeper next, but DDP quickly breaks it up, and Kurt goes straight back to the chinlock. That's two guys, two chinlocks. Kurt messes around with Dallas when the move gets broken up, and Dallas comes back with a discus clothesline. DDP then pancakes Hennig, and here comes Ravishing Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig's insurance policy and best friend. Page hits the diamond cutter, but Rick pulls Randy Anderson out of the ring. The rest of the NWO run down, and Page fights him for as long as he can. Randy Savage cracks Dallas with the US title though, and that's how it ends. Hogan then comes down, Hollywood hits Dallas with two diamond cutters. DDP wore a sting mask and he got dropped on the world title during the second cutter. And Nitro ends with the Hulkster again trying to beat up the stunt granny, but thankfully Buff Bagwell, Conan and Vincent hold Hogan back. A good episode of Nitro ruined by a predictable finish. I just love how no WCW guys seem to come out to help each other. Time for Jim the Anvil Neidhart to get humiliated again then on Raw. Old Jimbo started off well. He gets in a few punches before taking Hunter out with a clothesline followed by a backdrop. The Anvil then chases the Heartbreak Kid on the outside, but Sean lures Jim back in the ring where Triple H can take advantage. Still, the Anvil comes back with another clothesline, and Jim picks Hunter up by his gorgeous well-shampooed hair to once again slam him on the mat. Triple H then gets thrown from corner to corner. Jim chokes Hunter on the ropes, and Hunter decides to poke Jim in the eye. The Anvil totally no-sells it, and Jim performs a body slam. You can tell why Big Jim wasn't the main event singles guy here during this match, with all due respect. His moveset wasn't very broad, and this match in particular just seems like two guys going through the motions. Jim performs a power slam, and then Shawn Michaels jumps on the apron. China passes Hunter a chair, she then distracts the referee. Hunter hits Anvil across the back, and that's it over. Hunter wins via pinfall. in a fucking awful WWF Raw's War main event. After the bell, DX attacked Jim. He gets pedigreed on a steel chair, and this is quite good. Sean grabs a spray can and he sprays WCW on Jim's back. JR says, "That's original." Big Jim gets up though and he takes Sean and Hunter out with a double clothesline, but China then gets involved and Neidhart gets handcuffed to the top rope. DX then mess around with the anvil, and when things get serious, Sergeant Slaughter hits the ring. HBK and Triple H go after Slaughter, so Ken Shamrock shows up to even the odds. Slaughter locks in the Cobra Clutch on Hunter. Sean continues to suck his lollipop as Ken hits a belly-to-belly followed by the ankle lock. And this is how Raw ends. Will the babyfaces be victorious later in the week? You gotta buy the pay-per-view to find out. A terrible main event though, with mildly entertaining post-match shenanigans. I feel a bit bad now for dismissing Kurt vs DDP because the Nitro main event match was better. It still had the usual post-match NWO stuff though. Nitro wins Reliving the War this week. There were way better matches over on TNT with Hoovy vs Mysterio and Kidman vs Benoit. The WWF didn't do a great job promoting the D-Generation X pay-per-view this week, and the only match that really stood out for me was Takamichi Noku vs Aguila. The HBK promo was fine too, but if you're gonna watch one this week, in my opinion, just watch Nitro. Nitro's now on 47 points on our leaderboard, Raw's War leads with 50 points, and we've got 13 ties. In the TV ratings, Nitro wins with a 3.8. Raw sees no movement and they stay at a 3.0. D-Generation X is the next video getting uploaded, but if you want to see it early and if you want to support the channel, head over to Patreon, it's already been uploaded over there. HBK vs Shamrock, Slaughter vs Triple H, and the first pay-per-view encounter between The Rock and Steve Austin are all included in the show. On Nitro next week, Prince Iaukea thinks he's Billy Big Balls now as he takes on Dean Malenko. We've got a Buff Bagwell vs Lex Luger rematch, and DDP's back in the main event, this time taking on Scott Hall. Join me this Sunday for D-Generation X, join me next Thursday for another episode of Reliving the War, and until then, take care.